What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Tuesdays of Sports News. As always, my name is Garrett, and I'm here with my co-host.
What to do? What to do? This is Jalen Prince. How we all doing?
We're doing good, man. We're doing good. At least you and me are. But I mean, we got to pack it all in today. Let's get right into it, man. We got to talk women's college basketball. I know you've been
Jokic.
talking a lot about it.
Look, right now we're living in a really good time if you talk about women's sports in general. We're not going to get into the negatives of it. Obviously, we understand what transpired. We know who's going to be in the Final Four. It's Iowa, it's UConn, it's South Carolina, it's NC State, especially after NC State got the big win over Texas last Sunday, excuse me. They beat Texas by 10, and Texas, they got one heck of a squad on them with Booker and the crew, so they're going to be good for the future. Obviously, South Carolina, they took care of business with Oregon State defeating, securing their spot. But obviously, the main event of it all was yesterday. If you're watching this on time, April 1st on Monday, there was no April Fools being told by neither of these games. Both of them were hyped. Some of them didn't live up to the magnitude of hype that there was. But it did break some viewership records for the sport of women's basketball.
Yes, sir.
Let's start off with UConn and USC. It was Paige Bueker versus Juju Watkins. Obviously, both the stars showed. The big difference in this game, it was Gino Auriemma. Been doing this for a long time. Joker knows how to coach. Juju was able to get the stuff that she wanted. However, she had to work for every little thing, every single thing that she. UConn was playing tremendous defense, and by the time even when USC was able to come back late in the fourth quarter, they were still. UConn was still able to. You kind of knew UConn was going to take control because USC is a young team, and Gino has been doing this for a long time. But Paige Bueker. She's been sensational all season long, and we can talk about whether it's her or Caitlin Clark because we know those two are going to meet in the Final Four, so that's going to be one heck of a show. But the story of that game to me, it was just Gino putting on a master class in the coaching game against USC.
I agree. I mean, I got nothing to or disagree with you on there, man. They clearly got out coached. That UConn team. This is why to bring it to men's briefly. This is why I picked men's UConn to win it. It's because some of the team they hadn't been there like this, like these UConn teams have been. Like you said, they've got the coaching, they've got the experience, they know what it takes to make a deep run at this. So, I mean, that's where I'm at with it.
But the thing though, everybody wanted to see what got the viewership because you wanted to see the stars. This is the first time we could honestly say you might not agree that women's basketball has been better than men's basketball, but it's more entertaining than men's basketball this season because of the amount of stars that women's basketball has. What it's not just Caitlin Clark with Iowa. It's not just Paige Bueker. It's Juju. It's not just Juju. It's Booker from Texas. It's not Angel Reese and Fly-Jay Johnson with LSU. Shoot, like I'm trying to think. I'm trying to think. Who else been like stars? I think.
This has
Sorry,
just
I
been
had to
a.
eat and thank you at the same time.
Oh, do you go, man?
It just it's loaded. It's just been loaded. There's so much talent and the amount of star power and the encouragement. That we're getting from it, and some of the like discouragement, because remember, when you're able to get trolled on social media by all the lame-os and all the like the idiots on social media, that's how you know you arrived. When you're getting memed, when you're getting mocked, and to the point where nobody should ever death threaten no kid ever, but technically, do you really make it if you don't get no death threats off of social media?
That's fair. That's a fair point. It should never get there, but I see what you mean. Here's what I want to say too. The people who are not, and like with Caleb Williams, with athletes in general getting emotional after losing a game that is potentially your last game for a team that you've given your heart and soul to, blood, sweat, and tears for however long you've been there, they're allowed to get emotional. It happened during or football last season with Caleb Williams. Dude was getting emotional because he was doing everything he could and they were still losing. He knows this is the last time he's playing some of these guys. So he's never going to get another shot. Angel Reese crying. I think it was Emmanuel Acho had an awful take, in my opinion, about how, like, oh, well, you can't be I'm paraphrasing, of course, like, you can't be the bad guy, but also cry. Like, yeah, you can. Like, it's just because you're playing the villain and you're leaning into that heel role doesn't mean that you also can't have emotions. Like, this is probably Angel Reese's last game at LSU. That was most likely it. She's declaring. There's no way she's not. But
Well,
it.
here's the well, that's another debate in of itself, as far as like should you go to WNBA or should you stay another year given
She's
how
gone.
much you're making with the NIL. Now, the way it looked, we don't really know. We kind of know, but we don't. But that's another question in of itself. But let's get into that game.
Let's do it.
Obviously, this is the rematch from the national championship from last year, where LSU absolutely dominated that game. This year, different type of story. Different type of story. There's a lot of factors we got to take into this with this matchup. First off, Caitlin Clark showed her greatness. The fact that she went took 23 pointers, but she made 9 of those, and a
Yeah.
lot of them were big timely shots. She got hot early. She was able to get everybody else going, and she's able to get help. She had 12 assists, and she had a like some
Seven
A fault,
rebounds, 12, seven
I
rebounds, 12
think,
assists, two steals, and 41 points.
and she played 40 minutes. That's the kicker. Let's see, Martin, she had 21. I think her name is
Falter.
Falter. She put up 16, and best bigs, one of the best rim defenders she put up 8 with 5 rebounds. And she was, and but she fouled out. But that was pretty much late when they pretty much had this game in hand. To me,
Yeah.
I felt like Iowa had control of this game to begin with, and this loss for LSU, this was on Kim Mulkey. How not have LaJae Johnson, one of your best on-ball defenders who has been hot throughout the entire tournament, not on the best player, arguably in the sport of women's college basketball, is beyond me. Haley
It
Van Lith was getting it. It was getting eaten up,
Oh,
man.
she was getting cooked.
She was getting cooked. And I'm like, Flodger is your best on-ball defender. Why is she not on her?
It
And by the
literally,
time she made the switch, it was already too late.
yeah, it literally makes me think of, like, you saw the highlight. We all saw the tape. We all saw the video that was going viral over the last 2 days. Caitlin Clark hitting a three from dang near half court, and you see Van Lith just shrug, like, I don't know what you want me to do. Like, and to her credit, she wasn't playing bad defense. She would just, here's the thing though. If someone's giving you buckets, even if you're playing good defense, I don't care what it is, it's time to switch. This is the same reason why teams don't come back with some of these halftime. It's the same reason why the 49ers lost. They didn't make halftime adjustments. It's the same reason why the Celtics keep blowing these big leads. They don't make halftime adjustments. If you are seeing this person is giving you buckets, make switch. Buffalo Janano,
Exactly.
do something.
But the thing about it is the fact that she didn't do nothing. Kim Mulkey didn't make no
No.
adjustments. And no disrespect to the head coach of Iowa. They won games and coaching matters within this sport. But if you had to rank list by list of the final four teams, Iowa, UConn, NC State, and South Carolina, it is Geno, Dawn Staley. And then you can make a case on who you ever want to mix with NC State. And that's no disrespect to the head coach of Iowa, because obviously she knows what to do, but you happen to have one of the all-time greats on your team to be able to help you out and take control of the whole offense. I give her credit on the defensive adjustments that they were able to make. But
Absolutely.
also, I see, as much as I give her credit on the coaching job, Caitlin did her thing. We knew she was going to be great, and the supporting cast came on. But as much credit as I would like to give the coach for Iowa, I'm putting more blame on Kim Mulkey. You waited too long to make adjustments. And not to mention, when you look at this LSU squad compared to last year, offensively, they were not the same. Defense, they were big. They kept forcing it inside. They didn't have a ton of shooting as they did last year.
Right.
And it came back to haunt them. So
The
they
thing with
got
it,
so they had to live with that.
Honestly, the thing with it too is if you look at just general field goal percentage, I was more consistent. Iowa as a team shot 46%, just or field goal percentage of 46%, for almost 42% from behind the arc and 77% of the line. LSU shot 38. I'm gonna round up for some of these just to make it easier. LSU shot 39%, 33% from behind the line, and 65% from the line. If you're not winning two of those three, you're not winning the game. You
The
need to
thing
win
that
two of those
also,
battles.
Iowa was getting better shots.
They were.
They were
They absolutely
getting
were.
better shots. LSU's offense looked way too stagnant. They said, we're going to set like some weak behind like back screens for Angel Reese and more and like and Morrow, or I think that's how you pronounce the name. Yeah, Morrow. And both are talented. Angel's one of the best to ever do it as far as getting another double-double again. But she's been getting in foul trouble way too much this season. That last foul that got her knocked out, that was a block. It was not a charge. That was a flat out block. But that's neither here nor there. But the offense was just so stagnant.
It
It
that
was
they
just
just
stagnant. And I'm looking at the offense. I'm like, they're not gonna win this game. It's too bland.
no,
And
they came out
Vandoof,
flat.
what do you even do?
Nothing. I have the stats pulled up, and to my right, I see highlights from the game, and there's that shot where Caitlin pulls up between the th basically from Curry range, and makes it, and Van Lith is in her face with the shot. Like if you ever need a proof that 2K badges are real, and volume
She
shooter
got
was a real
volume shooter,
badge, it's
limitless
Caitlin Clark.
range, open look, you name it.
That's what it is. But I mean, like you can't defend it. Let's put it this way. If Dylan Booker or Dylan Brooks were guarding her, Dylan Booker's not a real person. If Dylan Brooks were guarding her, he'd respect her because she gave them
Probably, probably
40.
is a yeah, but probably was a real
I'm
person.
sure it's a real
Maybe he's a real
person, but
person.
it's not a basketball player on any of the two teams.
All right, but we're going at length. Obviously, the matchup is set. UConn versus Iowa. Caitlin Clark versus Paige Buchner, and on the other side, you got South Carolina and you got NC State. The question I got for you is this: if Caitlin Clark somehow gets past UConn, and I believe she's gonna the winner of UConn and Iowa will face South Carolina in the national championship season. Where does she rank all time?
All time, she ranks top three. The only reason I'm going top three is because, like every sport, you have to respect the people who have come before you. And to me, while Caitlin Clark is great, and the people who are like, but Caitlin Clark is great, but she's an offensive threat. To me, it's like a Curry situation. Curry's one of the best to do it. But he's not the best to ever do it. Caitlin Clark is one of the best to ever do it. But when you have people like Cheryl Miller in front of her, to bring that up, you have to talk about the people who've come before you. You have an Olympic gold medalist. You have a two-time NCAA champion, three-time player of the year. They have their number retired, which some means something, sometimes doesn't. But this or Cheryl Miller also averaged a double-double for her entire career. And that's it. I mean, she averaged 24 points per game and 12 rebounds, shooting 56%. That's not nothing. Like that's impressive. So I would put her as one or number one, and then it's a it number two. Like I don't know. I mean, you can go a couple routes with number two. I mean, but definitely I'd put her top three for sure. We can debate who number two is all day. What about you?
Top three is a nice spot. You got Cheryl Miller. You got Maya Moore.
Yep, that there we go.
Deanna Taurasi,
Yep.
Sue Bird, basically almost anybody you could name with UConn. I'll go another route. You got Brittany Griner with Baylor.
I could put Caitlin
There's
top
a whole
five.
litany of it. I will say Caitlin is the greatest of this generation.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
She is the greatest. I think she's the most accomplish in this generation if she's able to capture a national championship. I don't believe it's going to happen because I don't see nobody beating South Carolina. That's just me. But when you look at it after Monday, she passed Tamika Johnson for most career assists in the NCAA tournament. She passed Deanna Taurasi. She hit 9 threes, which tied most for an NCAA tournament game. She passed Taylor Robertson for most career three pointers of all time.
Right.
She became the first player in the tournament to hit to have three career 40-point games. And as of right now, she's averaging 28.5 points. She has over 3,900 points, 58 30-point games, most by any Division I player. Yep. And right now, she is behind Sabrina Ionescu. She's behind her with 17 triple doubles all time. Sabrina got 26. Now she ain't gonna catch Sabrina.
She's not catching Sabrina.
Yeah, that's the one cherry pick you can have on her.
Yeah.
Well, if she does get a title. But at the same time, I'm looking at it like this. If she's able to get that title, she's able to beat the people that she beat. She got paid back on LSU. Check. Now you gotta beat Goliath.
Yep.
Well, first off, you got to beat the coach in Goliath, which is Geno, and then you got to beat the other coach Goliath with the squad that's South Carolina. If she's able to do that, we can't knock on that, and no. I would understand why you would have her as the greatest of all time to do it. However, there's a short little girl with a ponytail, blonde head, number 5, wearing dark blue that might be coming in there to spoil every single thing from America's sweetheart, and that is Paige Bueker. She's something special, man. But anyway, we gotta move on.
Yep.
Let's get to some 2 minute takes. What you got?
Let's do it, man. So we're doing this. So for those who don't know, we're doing this new thing called 2 minute takes. Basically, we're gonna do a quick little buzz by on a couple topics, and go from there. One from each of us. For me, you know, basketball's not always my biggest thing. So what? For me, basketball's not my biggest thing. I'm a casual basketball fan. I'm not, you know, I don't follow anything like I follow football. So to me, this is the time of year where I start going down these draft rabbit holes for the NFL, and it's got me thinking, which position group do you think is going to have the biggest bust? Because to me, I already know where I'm at, and I think I know who it's going to be.
To me, I think it's going to be cornerback.
Really?
I think even after everything that we've seen within the combines and stuff, and you look at the tape, now I might be slight biased because I know Terrion Arnold, I know Kool-Aid McKinstry.
Terrion
and
Kool-Aid going to be fine.
Kool-Aid's going to be fine to me because he's so technical sound. But I think when you look at everybody else, if everybody's just going to base it solely on 40 times and alone and not go off of tape, I think you could go to cornerback draft just simply on by how much really is going to be counted on those cornerbacks. So to me, I just don't see a whole ton of talent. I see a whole bunch of speed, but not a lot of talent and precision outside of the two guys I mentioned.
To me, it's wide receiver. So I'm going same skill group, opposite side of the ball. To me, it's wide receiver. I think there are so many good receivers in this class, and same for corners. Guys like Kyrie Jackson aren't going day one. They'll go day two. They might go day three. But with me, I think it's like guys like Brian Thomas Jr. They remind me too much of Quentin Johnson. I don't like that because we know how that panned out. Guys like Keon Coleman remind me too much of Juju Smith-Schuster, just a bigger version of it. There's guys who are projected to be first-round picks that are certainly not going to pan out to be first-round picks if they are. Some of these guys you could take in day two, day three, and you might get, you know, specialty-type production, like, you know, a good red zone threat or something. But a lot of these guys aren't going to be these alpha wide receiver ones that everybody thinks are going to be. But that's just me.
All right, so that's our 2 minute take real quick. Now, we talked about women's Final Four. Let's get into the men, because obviously you know where I live and who I rep and who I've been covering all season long.
You are one happy man right now.
I'm one happy dude right now. For those that know and for those that don't, I live in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. I am an Alabama Crimson Tide graduate of 2022, but I've been a Bama fan ever since I was a kid. Now it's Georgia Southern first, but it's always going to be Roll Tide right after. And obviously, to quote the great Drewski and quote Roll Tide Willie, don't give a piss about nothing but the Tide. But that's not where we're about to go, because obviously, Alabama, for the first time in program history, made the Final Four. They will see the number one overall seed, the back-to-back reigning defending national champions in UConn come the main event of Saturday night in the Final Four. But the first game is going to be America's male sweetheart and DJ Burns, who is receiving NFL GM looks at offensive tackle, but he wants to stick to basketball with Burns and NC State facing.
Duke, not Duke.
Why did I just draw a blank?
My
Why
brain
did I
shut
just
down
draw a blank?
too. Good Lord, my brain didn't work. Hang
Man,
on.
I drew a blank.
Purdue,
My bad, Purdue, yeah.
Edie and the
Purdue. So you got
7-4
so
monster.
yep. So you got DJ Burns, the guy that a lot of NFL GMs are looking at, an offensive lineman, going against Purdue's Zach Edey. I think the most annoyed, hated dude in college basketball right now.
I don't hate
So
him.
like, dog, I just hate the fact that like you can't foul him. Like you could rarely even touch him. But I do give him his credit. Like he's working on his game so much. Like with this post game, be able to adjust, be able to pass out and get double team because he's gonna get double team a lot. This Final Four is gonna be interesting whether people want to admit it or not.
I think NC State's gonna get some people, man. I mean, to me, like, DJ Burns reminds me of old Z-Bo. He's got that gritty grind, back you down to the basket, and just big body dude who is going to get a shot up, and it's going in, and there's not a thing you can do about it. That's what he reminds me of. I think if anybody can give Edie buckets, it's DJ. No questions asked. I think he can give Zach buckets. I don't. I think Purdue's gonna fall at some point. They've been riding way too high right now. I think NC State beats Purdue, but that's where I'm at.
Dog, you
Because
want to know what I call that Purdue Tennessee game in the Elite Eight? I call it the Heimlich game. Because both those squads were like prone to choke. It
they.
just so happened it came out for the Vols.
Bro, Purdue shot 20% from three.
And still won.
It somehow still won.
Dog, I give Dalton Connect his props, man. He did everything he could. Nobody else was able to step up for him.
No.
But Purdue, they were able to do what they got to do. Well, they did what they had to do. They're in the Final Four. They're facing NC State. As for my Tide, we're going against the reigning defending champions, and nobody's giving us a shot. And I understand why. You got Donovan Clingan. You got the reigning champs, who's basically you can make a case UConn has been unbeatable this season. They have been unstoppable when the tournament started, and they played a lot better than what they did last season when they won the Natty. So the question I ask for you is this: Is can like out of all the teams, do you see UConn repeating, or is there somebody out there that could knock them off?
So I had UConn winning it all this year because I thought they were just the most complete team. And again, like I said earlier tonight, they've been here before. The coach has been here before. These guys know what they're doing. They're not going to fall to the pressure of some people who, an Oakland situation where you win one game and you blow somebody out, which is great and it's exciting, you love it, or an FAU type situation where they haven't been here before and they're riding on pure adrenaline and skill and mismatch, which is great, but that only gets you so far until you run into a coach who knows what the hell they're doing. Because they've been here before, they don't care, it's fine. Like, to me, I think UConn is going to they're gonna beat Bama. I'm sorry. UConn's beating Bama. It's happening. It's gonna be a close game and the Tide are gonna play well. But UConn is beating Bama. I got UConn and NC State in the finals.
I'm gonna try to tread. I'm gonna try to actually. I ain't gonna tread lightly.
Get messy. Let's go.
I know how good and dominant UConn has been this season without question. Donovan Clingan, he's been sensational. The way he's been able to, the way he is able to protect the rim, the way he's able to guard the pick and roll and whatnot. Spencer, they got a bunch of really good on-ball defenders. It's gonna be a tough challenge. I think Bama can do it. And
If
yeah, I know I'm coming from a fan base. I understand that. There's a little bit of bias in here, but let's think about this now. March Madness is the most unpredictable beast known to man. And I've said this time and time again. To go deep, to win a natty, you got to have tremendous guard play. You have to make big shots, big timely shots. And you have to play solid defense. You ain't got to play great defense. You got to play solid defense. Alabama, since the tournament started, has been playing tremendous solid defense in the games that they have won, beating North Carolina and beating and pull away from Clemson, and had dog fights all year. I covered the Tide all season long. We've been in dog fights. We've played against guys that have had like 7 footers or above. We've played against Purdue. We could have beat them, but is what it is. We played against Creighton, played against Arizona, we played against your Gators 3 times, and y'all got about 3 dudes over 6'10, 6'10 and above, and your defense is solid. We played against Tennessee twice. That's a solid defensive team. We done been through the adversity. We understand what we're going upon. But you mentioned this early. Hurley, the head coach of UConn, is a tremendous coach, and he knows what he's doing. So does Nate.
For sure. For
Who
sure.
knows what he's doing? And I'm going back to this. You got to make your shots. Alabama is based off of twos and threes, and we can make shots. If we're able to knock down 15 plus, and if we're able to sustain those runs, I don't believe UConn's gonna put up a 30-0 run what they did in Illinois. That I don't believe. Because we
They
can score
dropped
better than
50 in
Illinois.
the second half. They dropped 50 in the second
I
half. That was
understand that, and our
crazy.
defense is not that great. However, I understand that. However, Clingan, he's gonna get his. We understand that, but I think Nate Oates got something up his sleeve for Alabama to be able to come up and compete. And I believe we're going to compete. I believe we're going to make our shots, and I believe we're going to surprise a whole lot of people. Lastly, I want to end with this: the last time we seen a dominant team like this in UConn, where everybody thought they're gonna run the table, it's gonna be over, and ain't nobody a chance to beat them. You remember his Doom Squad, Collie Stein, the Harrison Twins, Tyler Ulis, Devin Booker, Trey Lyles, Marcus Lee, Dakari Johnson. Remember that squad?
I do.
They went fourth, and they were close. They were 38-0 going into the Final Four, and they got bounced out by Wisconsin with Frank Kaminsky and Sam Decker.
I remember. Here's what I'm
How
saying.
did Wisconsin beat? How did Wisconsin beat them? Wisconsin made their shots. They made big shots when needed most, and they played solid to good defense. I don't believe UConn is dominant without question. I don't believe they're unbeatable if you're able to make your shots, and we make big time shots, especially if we're able to get Latrell right on right self back. I'm rolling with the Tide.
I'm taking UConn, and the reason why I'm taking UConn is it's going to come down to defense and rebounds. It's going to come down to boards and rebounds. And
I agree.
while Bama is good at crashing the boards and making sure they get their rebounds, and you're right, they've been playing solid defense. UConn has been better. If anybody
True.
can beat UConn, though, I think it's the Tide. If anybody can beat UConn, it's going to be the Tide. But I don't
Because you
see
gotta
it.
make shots.
You do. But I don't see it happening. I think it's going to be, you're right, it's going to be a dogfight. I think this game is won by 5 or less.
Here's the thing. Like I
This
said,
ain't going to be a blowout.
March Madness is an unpredictable beast, dog. People think they know. People think they know what's about to happen. You don't really know. until it actually happens. That's the beauty of March Madness. It is madness.
Yeah.
You don't know what's really going to happen. I believe that the Tide is going to be able to show up, go in there, make their shots, because we're going to be in there confident. It's not just going to be roll up in there and say, oh, we're happy to be here. Yeah, we're happy to be here because it builds into the future. But that's a conversation for another day. If you're here, you might as well win it. If you're a dog, it's like getting invited to the, like when you're a kid and you finally get invited to the adult table.
Yep, you get
it's
moved up from
like
the
you
kids'
didn't
table to the
just
adult
get
table.
that. Yeah, it's not like, no, I'm at the table. I don't care about talking, but I'm gonna eat.
Yeah, I'll give you that. I'll give you that. And it's the teams that nobody expects to win that are the most dangerous teams. That's why I think NC State is going to beat Purdue.
There's a lot of reasons why I think they're going to beat Purdue. And it's, again, it's not hatred towards Purdue, even though Zach Edey annoys me on the, like, the type of fouls he be getting and the type of fouls he doesn't like, he doesn't get put on him, which kind of doesn't make no sense with me. But at the same time, you got to give credit what credit is due.
Yeah,
But
absolutely.
again, I'm rolling with the Tide. I'm thinking I'm going Alabama and Purdue.
I'm going
I'm gonna say
UConn
we
and
find I'm gonna say we find a way. We're getting our way back from a lot of teams this season. I think we keep it going. I'm still rolling with the Tide. And not to mention, Riley Griffin, he's a huge WWE fan. All right, fine. UConn's Hulk Hogan will be Ultimate Warrior. Let's go up there and let's go up there and show them what you're gonna do. And like, and we're gonna let them know what you're gonna do when Roll Tide rolls over you.
Give me UConn and NC State, man. Let's go. Let's go polar opposites in this one. Let's have some fun with it.
But
How are we looking on time?
Let's move on. Let's move on.
All right.
All right. So obviously right now we're less than 2 weeks left until the NBA playoffs start. The fact that the season's already getting over it, and I haven't paid that much attention to the NBA.
Me neither,
because
man.
I've been locked into football. I've been locked into college sports mostly because I haven't had to cover a lot of Alabama basketball this season.
Yeah.
And I've just been following a lot of women's basketball. But I've enjoyed it so much. But getting back into the nick of things of the NBA, obviously we understand, we know the standings of how everything's going. We understand who are just in a different tier than everybody else. Celtics are playing really good basketball. However, they got trusted. However, everybody got trust issues with them by the time the playoffs start.
We got Falcons problems.
Bucks, same way. You know their potential. However, can you trust them and can you trust the coach to be able to make the right do the right thing?
Nah.
Cleveland, they're up and down. You don't like you see the potential, but you don't know if it's actually gonna happen. Knicks, Magic, Pacers, Heat, Sixers. Sixers just get Joel Embiid back. So
yep.
I still think they're gonna be dangerous. They're gonna be in the play-in.
Yeah.
Well, actually, they could find a like, we don't know what's going to happen within the next 2 weeks. Maybe they find their way out of the play-in, but as of right now, they're in the play-in. Chicago and Atlanta, they're just irrelevant. And I love my Hawks, but they're just irrelevant. In the West, on the West, you got the Thunder, Nuggets, and you got Timberwolves. They're in a different tier, especially since they're fighting for that number one overall seed.
Bro, I knew the Timberwolves were going to fall out of first.
You got the Clippers. You got the Clippers, and Matt, you got the Clippers right now. They're at four. You know what they're going you know what they're capable of doing. You see the potential. Are they actually going to play together? That's the main thing because of injury issues in their history. Mavericks, they're slightly coming, and we'll get into it.
Yeah.
Pelicans, Suns, obviously Kevin Durant, Devin Booker, Bradley Beal, Kings. We know what they're capable of by the time we get into the summer. Lakers and Warriors, obviously. You got two of the greatest players to ever play the game. You're not really going to count them much out. Now, Houston, they're fighting. They're fighting. They're trying to find a way to get in there. So, a lot of interesting things the next 2 weeks. But here's what bows the question. Who are your dark horses in the Western Conference and the Eastern Conference going into the playoffs?
Eastern Conference, it's Orlando. Orlando's been playing well. Paolo Banchero has been playing well. I think Orlando is going to – I think they're going to upset some people. They're not going to make a deep run, but I can see them making it past the first round. As for Western Conference, Dallas is on a tear, man. Dallas is on a tear. They're 9-1 in their last 10 games. They're on a 7-game win streak. They're getting hot at the right time. I don't see the Clippers playing well together. I Minnesota is having their classic fall off because Ant can't do it all. Thunder are going to be resting Shea until the playoffs. They're not going to force him back. I think he's missing time tonight.
But also the young.
But also they're young. Denver, everybody's prepared for. Everybody's preparing to play Denver.
Yeah,
Yep.
but like being prepared to play Denver is
No, I
one thing.
know. I
Actually
know.
going out to do it in a 7-game series, totally different thing.
No, I agree 100%. I don't like the Pelicans. I don't like this. The Suns, I don't trust as far as I could throw them. Don't trust the Kings. Don't trust the Los Angeles retirement home. Don't trust Golden State. And I don't see Houston sneaking in. I think Golden State holds them off.
So in the West, you got in the West, you have the Mavericks,
And in the
and
East, I
then
got the Magic.
why the Magic?
They're just playing good ball right now. They're playing really good ball right now. Paolo is doing his thing. They're a great. They honestly, they remind. They're. I think they're going to have a Heat type run. I don't see him doing what the Heat did last year, but I see him upsetting some people. I see him. Take I see him closing the game out in six, or I see him closing a round out in six. I don't see him making a deep run, but I see them getting past the first round.
As of right now, the Magic got the fifth seed. They would play the Knicks. I could possibly see them win that series.
I got him beating the Knicks,
Because
man.
four and five is always like a coin flip. That's basically as close to that, to
Yep.
even as you possibly get.
I got him beating the Knicks, and then I
For
got
me,
Dallas had cooked the Clippers.
here's the thing, if I like oof. I don't know. I don't know, man. We'll have to see about that. Here, mine. In the East, I'm the opposite of you. I gotta go Miami.
Okay.
I think we know what Jimmy Butler is capable of when the playoff starts. I know they're about a half game. I think they're about a half game out of the play-in. They're
They're
just behind they're just behind Indiana.
full game back.
But we know what Jimmy Butler is capable of come playoff time. We've seen the history of what your old friend of yours, Terry Rozier, can do in playoff time. We know what
Scary
Eric Spoelstra is when it comes to playoff time. The Heat are my dark horse, and I can see them going back. Can I see them win it? No.
I don't see him going
No.
back.
But like making a deep run, I definitely can see that. I got Miami based off the history alone, and them jokers in that coat and the Heat culture is a real thing. In the West, I had to think about this one. And I'm talking about like legit certified dark horses. I said effort. I got the Suns. Kevin
Don't like it.
Durant, Devin Booker, Bradley Beal. We understand we haven't seen them a whole lot. But when they have played, and I think they will play with each other come playoff time, you still got to be able to outscore them jokers. They're not that good defensively, we know, but it's still a stars game, and they have three of them. Can you stop them? We will see. Now, if they get hurt, that's one thing. But outside of that, it's still Kevin Durant, it's still Devin Booker, it's still Bradley Beal.
Beal's
Not
my
really much I
guy.
really had said. Now, one thing I will say, I was debating between this. It was between the Suns and the Pelicans. I'm actually going to give the Pelicans their credit. They're a tremendous defensive team.
That's fair. That's fair. I'll give you
Willie
that.
Green is a coach of the year candidate. He ain't going to win it, but he is a candidate. My dog, Herb Jones, he better be first team all defense. We know what Jose Alvarado? Yeah.
Yeah.
Jose Alvarado, we know what he is, especially after you take a dribble in full court. He's always lurking. He's always lurking. But CJ McCollum, he got experience. Zion, he finally looks like he's in shape and he's healthy. Brandon Ingram, he's playing really good basketball right now. Trent Murphy, he's sniping that thing right now. I think because of the unit that they got and the culture that they start to develop and the coach that Willie Green is, they can make some noise. Right now, they have the sixth seed. They will face the Timberwolves in the first round if the season were to end right now. I can see New Orleans beat the Timberwolves.
I could see him beat Minnesota.
I don't have a whole lot of respect for the T-Wolves right now. I'm
no,
sorry.
I never do.
Rudy Gobert, we don't know what Cat's going to be like come the playoff time. And he's going to do his thing. But outside of that, I can see the Pelicans winning that one. I'm going to go with the Suns as my dark horse. But sleeper team, I got the Pelicans.
Here's your TikTok clip. I haven't had respect for the T-Wolves since KG and K-Love left.
I'll give you that.
I love KG, and
no,
I respect K-Love's game.
It's going to be fun, especially when the play-in starts, because you know it's going to be one and done, and I love one and done type situations more than the game. More than like a seven-game series, because it's too predictable with a game seven series. But when it's one game, you just need one game to survive. It's going to be fun.
Think of March Madness the same way you think of NBA playoffs. To quote Kevin Garnett, "Anything is possible."
Facts.
Which I'm not yelling because it's late, but I also don't want to hurt anybody's eardrums.
Facts.
But yeah, I mean, I those are decent dark horse candidates. I just don't trust Miami. I don't trust Miami. They're not the same team.
Understood. But we got to move on.
Yep, let's do it.
As much as basketball season is starting to come to an end, baseball season is officially back. College baseball started already just getting into conference play. But now MLB is back. There's a lot of huge storylines. A whole bunch of moves, obviously. Shohei Ohtani going to the Dodgers, all of that just try to beat the Braves and lose anyway. Obviously, my Braves are coming too much. But the question I both for you and the audience, what are the biggest storylines going into this season?
It's Shohei's gambling thing for sure, but we're not going to get too into that until all the
really
details
know.
Have come out. It's the way we are with a lot of these things is we're not going to give our opinions till we have as much information as humanly possible. Do I think anything's going to happen to him because of this? Absolutely not. He's the golden boy of baseball. Nothing's going to happen to him. He's the billion-dollar baseball player. He's going to be fine. I think some of the biggest stories for me, it's not going to happen until October, but the Dodgers have paid all this money for a first-round exit. I don't see the Dodgers making a deep run. I really don't. And I think the Braves are still going to own the National League. And I think we make it back to the World Series this year. So, but that's where I'm at.
Here's what my biggest storylines outside of Shohei. Shohei's the biggest storyline in baseball this season, just with the Dodgers alone.
The
you
biggest
got
storyline in sports.
Shohei, you got Freddie Freeman, you got Mookie, you got Max Muncy, you got Will Smith, who just signed an extension.
Kershaw, you got the other cat from Japan.
I don't want to get that name wrong. You got Yamamoto. He just got added onto the mix. Look, I think the Dodgers are going to be good. I think they're going to, they'll make some runs. I mean, obviously, you're going to pick them to win their division, even though we know the Giants are going to be tough because they added some pieces as well. Rockies, no. Diamondbacks, they're still – Diamondbacks are always going to be – they got a young squad. They went to the World Series last year. They're trying to look – they're going to be looking to come back. So, Diamondbacks is going to be a fight with them. I think the Brewers are going to handle their division. Obviously, it's just between us and the Phillies at this moment. You know how I feel about the Mets. I hate the Mets. Like they ain't nothing to it.
Mets ain't doing nothing this year.
I'm gonna say the biggest storyline. One of the biggest storylines outside of Shohei to me is Juan Soto in with the Yankees. Is that going to be enough to get the Yankees into contender status? Obviously, we know what's in the AL. It's Houston. It's the Rangers. Obviously, it's the Rangers. It's Houston. It's I don't even know who really all is competing right now in the American League.
My Sox are doing okay. Angels.
I think the Rays, obviously can't sleep on the Rays.
Nah, I hate to say it, but you can never sleep on the Rays. Houston's 1-5 right now, but granted, we're also six games in.
It's gonna be early.
It's
So right
so
now,
early.
it's so early, but what I see from the Yankees is like Juan Soto enough. That's a question.
I don't think so.
I'm just glad he's out of the NL.
That's fair.
I'm glad I don't have to deal with him no more. But I look at the Yankees. I just look at I look they've always had power. They've always had stars. Are you gonna be able to do something especially enough to get you into October? That is the question. And we just gotta wait and see. But obviously the major story is gonna be Shohei. What is he gonna do? Right now he's going through a scandal. We don't have a whole lot of details with it. We're still waiting that. All we know is his translator got fired on that one. So but outside of that, I mean, we just gotta wait and see. I'm excited about this season. I get to go back to Atlanta. I get to go to an Atlanta on that Braves game. I couldn't go last year, financial reasons, but now shoot, I'll be able to go, be able to take my girl with me.
I'm trying to go too.
I'm
I'm
excited.
trying to use our company seats. Right now, and honestly too,
Oh,
if you
y'all got
look at
company
it,
seats?
yeah, we do.
Yeah, we're gonna have to talk.
We'll talk off
We're gonna have to
air.
talk.
We'll talk off air.
We're gonna have to
I'll tell
talk.
you about him later. But honestly,
All
right
right,
now,
man.
Soto's not even the best batter on the Yankees right now. It's Volpe. Volpe's batting .571.
Again, it's early.
It's
It's the
early. No,
early season.
it's
Now my
early.
Braves, we're off to a hot start, but
We
shoot,
are.
we just got done playing the Phillies, and I'm glad we got payback on them. And like we're playing the White Sox right now, and they're 0-4 right now. So, you know,
We'll see what
take
happens.
what you want. Yeah, see what happens. Obviously, I mentioned Rylan Griffin, who he's a huge wrestling fan. Like guard for the Alabama Crimson Tide men's basketball team. There's a reason being because right now, dog, it's WrestleMania week.
This one's all you.
It's WrestleMania week, folks, and I'm here for it. We understand the main card's the main thing, but we also know right now wrestling's fun again. It's exciting again. We're getting blood. There's no more bad dudes right now that's running or booking. Triple H is booking his butt off, and after everything that we've seen from both Monday Night Raw and Friday Night SmackDown, we're getting fun wrestling again, and I can only imagine how Philly is going to be. WrestleMania is going to be come this weekend, both Saturday and Sunday. Obviously, a lot of people have waited a long time. They want to see Cody Rhodes finish the story and become the champion and beat Roman Reigns. I ain't one of the people. I want to see Roman Reigns retain that title. That's just me. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. All the people, all them Cody Cryberries. Y'all continue. Y'all can go somewhere with that, man. I want to see Roman Reigns. I want to see the Tribal Chief. I want to see the Bloodline reign. However, I do want to see Jey Uso beat Jimmy Uso. I do want to see that. I want to see L.A. Knight, yeah, beat AJ Styles. But I also want to see Drew McIntyre win the World Heavyweight Championship. And then hopefully Damian Priest can finally cash in that money in the bank. That would be so justice, especially since the fact that the next PLE is going to be in Scotland for the Clash of the Castle. That gives Drew McIntyre a chance to regain the World Heavyweight Championship if Priest does actually cash in on him. So there's a bunch of opportunities. I'm excited about WrestleMania. I'm just
I don't
excited.
think
There's so many things.
I think Cody Rhodes is eventually going to get the title. Just purely from a story writing perspective, he will get it eventually.
Yeah, eventually. Just like I don't see him getting it now.
Not this
Like,
week. No, not this week.
when
But
I look at,
eventually.
let's see, he's gotten his butt kicked by The Rock several times. We ain't even mentioned him and how like he's helping like wrestling become funny. Again, it was already getting more fun, but it's just got even more fun with The Rock and CM Punk doing his thing. I can't wait until like he comes back,
Heels are fun,
but
man.
like they are, especially when you're an adult, it's fun.
Heels are fun.
Yeah, just seeing the whole Final Boss thing, but like we all kind of know Rock is gonna turn on Roman soon, but so is Seth. But Seth is gonna turn on Cody pretty soon as well. We know what's coming. We just know what's coming. Like Saturday and Sunday is going to be insane.
It no, for sure. Do I make the claim now?
Go ahead.
I think Cody Rhodes will have the title by the end of the year.
End of the year or end of the night?
End of the year.
All right, we'll see.
End of the year. That's an easy thing. I think we'll have it in the end of the year. But we're pretty much at time. Thank you guys for listening. Hope you guys enjoyed the format. We're kicking a couple things around, seeing if we can, can keep having some fun with it like we always do. If you like the show, you know the drill. Tell us. Let us know. The best way to tell us, retweet the show. You can find us at TDS and Pod on Twitter. Retweet the show, like the show, tell all your friends, rate us 5 stars on whatever podcast platform you listen to. Not Google Pods anymore, because that's gone.
Or
Find us on,
what?
yeah,
We'll
it's
talk
YouTube
about
Music
that
now.
later.
But it's YouTube Music now. I'm working on getting us on there. As soon as I have some downtime, I'll mess around with that. I might do that this weekend. We'll see. That's whatever. Different conversation for different day. Apple Pods, Spotify, whatever platform you listen to, 5 stars, review, leave a comment. Tell us who you think's gonna win the heavyweight or who's gonna have the championship belt by the end of the year. Something like that. Let us know who's your biggest draft bust position, who's winning the NCAA tournament. Whatever you need, feed the algorithm gods. Don't know why it works, but it does. If you didn't like the show, treat it like a bad date. It's not you, it's me. It's not me, it's you. Whatever helps you feel better. Just no reason to leave bad reviews. It's a waste of your time. It's a waste of ours. We'd give you the time back if we could, but we can't. Two ships in the night. You go your way, we'll go ours. If you like our show, some other shows you can listen to, go check out Is This a Bad Take? Go check out Steel and Teal. Go check out Jim over the Fan of the Van podcast. He's also does a show with E-Man called Cigar and Sports. Go check out Brent and Dave of the 1420. They're big baseball fans, especially if you like hearing about baseball. Go check them out. They have great insight. Love those guys over there. Go check out the guys at the BSN Sports podcast. Aaron over Brutally Honest Sports. Go check out Darian over Chill Takes. Now this draft time's coming up. Darian's really getting into his bag. I love his opinions. We need to get you back on the show, man, at some point. I promise you, I'm going to reach out soon. Go check out Jave and John, the Love of the Playing Field, the guys at the We Like Sports podcast. Go check out Average Joe Sports. Listen to John over at Wrestling Fan Insight. He is going to give you some insight on WrestleMania this weekend. Check him out, especially for a guy like me who doesn't really know a whole lot. He does a really good job of breaking things down. Always, 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 always go check out Sports After Dark. Do it. Cop the merch. Do all the fun stuff. They don't pay us to say that. I love those guys over there. Heavy, you're very incorrect, brother. I love you. But Waffle House is goated. It is not mid.
It depends on, like, that's what I'm saying. I saw that, man. I'm like, bro, what, man, you, them fighting
You're
words.
my guy. Heavy, I love you,
Them
man.
fighting
I
words.
love you, man. But come on now. You can't say at least where Jalen and I are at, especially in Georgia. You can't say that in Georgia.
At all.
Waffle House is magic. It is there
Without
for you on your
question.
best days. It is there for you on your worst days. It is there on
But more
payday. It is there
importantly,
with
for the worst.
exactly. It is always there for you with those magic hash browns, sometimes dinner and a show. But go check out Sports After Dark. Go check out Visit Vegas Place if you're looking for something to do in Vegas. Go check out the Stupid History Minute. If you're looking to gamble, go check out Nate's Daily Wager. Do not bet the house. Gamble responsibly. Please, 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 please only bet with money you can lose. But listen to these guys for Nate's Daily Wager and the guys at the You Bet Smart podcast. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And as always, we'll see you next time.
Peace.